Pastor Lau and Pastor Dala Haprasit would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church in Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's anointed teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ. And now, Pastor Lau.
Talk about a pastor's wife that was afflicted by liver cancer. And the doctor told her that she would live only 6 months. Nasty, you know, liver cancer is one of the worst cancer in the medical system. And she was so sad. Many people pray for her and a lot of things going on. And one of the things that she mentioned in that book, she said that even though she was sick, very sick, she still decided to go to church. And she still went to encourage people and minister to people. At that time, her husband was a senior pastor. So she won't continue to give and bless other people. And what happened? God healed her. She's still alive today. And this woman is the mother of Pastor Joe Austin. I met her personally. I shook her hand many times. And she's still healthy and strong. And the doctors say liver cancer. So I learned one thing from this lady, this pastor, that we need to practice the principle of God. Instead of being self-pity and being, oh, poor me, we need to learn to give. When I say give, I'm not talking about money, but I'm talking about living your life to minister to other people. As you are using your body to be the vessel that God flow to you to bless other people. God in heaven looks down from heaven and say, I cannot lose this person. He or she has been a blessing to many. I'm going to keep her in this world for a long time. And that's how I live. I and Pastor Dad decided we will not live for ourselves. We're going to live for others. And I know God from heaven looked down and say, I'm going to keep this guy and this couple for a long time. I'm not going to let them die easily because they are such a great blessing to many people. Another issue that I would like to mention, spiritual point of view, is about serving in the service or in the church. You notice that Joshua was not a great man right away. He was carrying the briefcase or the bag for Moses for many years, 40 years in the wilderness. He was faithful in serving the man of God until the right time came. Then he became anointed and was a great man that was recorded into the Bible. The same thing with other people. Paul served in the church of Antioch. Peter following. I believe that Peter was one of the usher when Jesus was walking around for 3 years. I believe Peter and John and all these people lined people up for Jesus to lay hand and heal the sick for 3 years. They were not great preachers right away. They were serving the man of God. Or the anointed person of God. So, before you can become great in the kingdom, you need to learn how to serve first in the little thing faithfully. Let me say one more time, faithfully. And that thing may be so small that people don't even know what you're doing. But it will be a great blessing because eventually God will promote you because you are faithful in little things. If you cannot touch the little thing, forget about doing a big thing. God not going to trust you enough to give the big responsibility to you. Besides, about ushering, catching people, coming to help the pastor, giving the water to the pastor when he is tired, put the blanket on people when people fell down, all these things. You need to understand one thing about the anointing. The anointing is, we call spiritual or heavily, the right word is heavily material. Even though you don't see it with your own eyes, the anointing or the power of God. But it's like a material. That's why when the woman with the issue of blood touched the cloak of Jesus, she felt the power or the virtue come upon her and she got healed. And at the same time, Jesus felt, the Bible says Jesus felt the power went out of him. So it's like the material that you can feel. That's why the Bible used the word river, fire, dove for the Holy Spirit. The Bible describes the Holy Spirit in the physical form to let us understand that the things of God is not just abstract, but it's like a material, is a real thing. And when you study the Bible carefully, you will see that the anointing or the presence of God in people's life are at a different measure. Some people have more high anointing, some people less anointing. And not only that, according to the Bible, the anointing can flow from one person to another person. By the laying on of hands, by touching the cloth, by putting in the handkerchief. I'm not preaching right now, I'm just sharing. I just feel burdened to share so that you understand. When Paul put the anointing on the handkerchief, they sent the handkerchief to the sick touched the handkerchief, they got healed. Because the anointing was stored in that handkerchief. It's the impartation, the flowing of that heavenly material. And that's why sometimes when the anointing is strong on me and when I walk close to somebody, even before I lay hand, they fell under the power. Because the anointing in me so thick that when I walk closer, that thickness come closer and touch that person before even lay hand. I come to this point, I want to say, actually, if I were you, I would be an archer. Think about it. In the line of prayer, you are behind somebody. And Pastor Lau stand in front of you, lay hand on people. And the anointing come out of me. And who get it? Not only the person who get prayed for, you too. Get it to you. That's why a lot of archer, when they archer people in Thailand, we have about maybe 50 archer in Thailand because we have 700 people. All these people start to get drunk in the Holy Spirit already before even they get lay hand on. And by the end of the service, when they sit down on the floor to be lay hand, they already out in the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Spirit in me just flowing into them again and again and again and again. So you come even closer to the anointing, the higher chance to get the anointing. Because the further away the dilution. Is that right? That's why some people like Chad like to sit in the front. Because he know that in the front, thicker anointing from the man of God than in the back. Do you need to understand all these things? Why the woman, the jewel of blood, walk in, touch the cloak of Jesus. The anointing come in, she was healed. Why the shadow? When the Bible talk about the shadow of Peter fell on the sick. And the sick was healed. Actually, it's not about the shadow. It's about being in proximity. That he was so close to the point that the shadow was upon that man, or that sick person, the anointing flow out of Peter and the person get healed. So I want to encourage all of you, be faithful in serving in the ministry. Living a life of giving to other people, your time, your energy, your... Just go bless people. Don't be poor me, or bless me. Being a giver. Three, learn to be close to the anointing and grow in the presence of God. Amen? Be faithful. I remember every time Terry came to the care group at my house, she just want to sit close to me and Pastor Da. She said, I want to draw the anointing out of you. And I feel it. I tell you, I feel the anointing start to come out of me and start to rise up because somebody, yesterday we have the Chinese revival meeting. I told you, I walk in. I feel the presence of God so strong right away. I almost drunk. You know why? Because all the 30 people who sat here were so hungry for God. And the anointing in me just start to like get draw out of me. People just draw out so it just rise up because God look for the hungry. When you are hungry, God will move for you. Amen. I want you to understand from the spiritual point of view. Amen. Let's listen to the word of God today. I will not be able to finish the whole sermon, but we will continue next time. I have been preaching about ruling and reigning, and the Lord told me to stop for a couple weeks and teach something else and come back again. We already taught. I really want to encourage you to get that teaching about ruling and reigning and listen carefully. It's so important for you. If you know how to rule and reign on earth, you will see more victory in your life. So please get it from the podcast or CD. Get a listen again and again because faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. We walk by faith. We are saved by faith and we walk by faith and we end this life by faith. So everything is about faith on earth here. But one thing is that faith will not work without love. The Bible says in the book of Galatians, faith works by love. Without love, faith will not work. So today I want to talk about love. Good subject. Amen. Because I don't want you to walk by faith, but hate all the people. Hate your mother-in-law, hate your wife, hate your husband, hate your kids. It's not going to work if you walk by in hatred. It's not going to work. Your faith is not going to work. Love never fails. Everyone say love never fails. John chapter 13 verses 34 to 35. John 13, 34 and 35, the Bible say, a new command I give to you. Everyone say a new command. Everyone say new. Are we in the New Testament or New Covenant? The history of Christianity has two parts. The Old Covenant, the time before Jesus came, and the New Covenant, the time after Jesus came. And we are in the New Covenant, the new contract with God. We are not in the Old Covenant anymore. A new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. John wrote another book, 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life, because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. John was talking about spiritual life and spiritual death, not physical death. How do you know that a person is born again? You cannot tell people born again just because they are a member of a local church, because their name is in the registration book of the local church. Yes, it's good to be a member of a local church. You are born again not because you have a cross on your neck. You're born again not because you were baptized in water. A lot of people baptized in water but may not be born again. It's good to be baptized in water because it's a command of Jesus Christ. But how do you know? John said that I know, we know. He did not say this is a hypothesis. This is something we guess. This is something we have to figure it out. He said, we know that you have passed from spiritual death. It means you are not a sinner anymore. You're not going to hell anymore. You're not under the bondage of sin anymore. But you have life because you love one another. So the trademark of Christian is not the cross on your neck. It's not the music from 105.3 in your car. People can listen to Christian music, but they're not born again. The trademark of Christian is that we love one another. Love is a sign of being born again. So sometimes I'm very surprised when a person really walk in hatred in the church, gossip about people, attacking people all the time, to do bad things in the church and cause lots of problems in the church. I began to turn to Pastor Da and say, I'm not sure this person is really born again. Because if you're born again, you really love people. Amen? So this message is important to help you understand and examine yourself whether you are a born again person or not. The Bible talks about new command. Jesus gave the new command. We are talking about the new covenant and new command. The Bible talks about the old covenant and the old command. What is the old command? The old commandments are given to Moses at Mount Sinai. That was recorded on the tablet of stone. The Ten Commandments. And Jesus said that in this new covenant, you and me in the local church, in the church of Jesus Christ, we are having a new command. And that command is love one another. What does it mean? It means that if we can love one another, we fulfill all the Ten Commandments that Moses gave to the children of Israel. We are not going after the old command anymore, the Ten Commandments. Yes, the Ten Commandments are nothing wrong, but now we are living in a higher plane than the old commands, the Ten Commandments, because the Ten Commandments say do not covet. But the new commandments say if you just hate people, you already sin against God. Not even start to cheat people, steal money. don't commit adultery or don't go after other woman who is not your wife. But Jesus said a new command, if you look at the woman with lustful eyes, you already commit adultery. So the new command, loving one another, is even higher standard than the old commandments of Moses. We are living in the new commandments. I'm going to show you the scripture, and after the scripture, if you break the Ten Commandments, you are not loving people. But if you love people, you will not break the Ten Commandments anyway. And I will show you the scripture. Let's look at the prophecy in the Bible. There are many prophecies in the Bible talking about the church today, talking about the new covenant people like you and me. We are the new covenant disciples or believers. Look at Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 to 29. This is a prophecy God given to Ezekiel regarding you and me. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. So God is going to use the water of the word to clean you up. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Everyone say new heart. Everyone say new spirit. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Stony heart is a heart of hatred, resentment, angry, mad at people, but he's going to give you a heart of flesh, which means soft, loving, merciful, and kind heart. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. In the Old Testament, only three kind of people have the Holy Spirit: the prophet, the priest, and the kings. But now God going to give the Spirit to every believer so that we can do the commandments of the Lord. Then you shall dwell in the land I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all uncleannesses. So God talk about holiness in the church. God going to clean up the church to be a holy church. I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. God prophesies in the Old Testament that in this generation, in the new covenant, we will have a new heart, new spirit. That is the Holy Spirit, change our spirit. We will live according to the new law or new command. And not only that, he said, I'm going to give you blessing, victory, prosperity, more than enough that you can handle. So holiness, love, and faith come with prosperity and victory. That is the prophecy. So I want to emphasize, let's say at the same time, new commandments, new covenant, new heart, new spirit. Okay, just remember all this word. I'll continue to read in the New Testament that quote the same scripture. In Hebrews chapter 8, verses 8 to 10, because finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days are coming, say the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. This is about the church, the new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. We are the spiritual Israel because we believe in Jesus. Not according to the covenant that I make with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant and I disregarded them, said the Lord. So the old covenant was given by Moses, by God through Moses to the children of Israel. For this is the covenant, the new covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. Now we are in this day. We are after those days. We are. Say the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. The Bible said that we, as new covenant disciples, God gives us a new heart, new spirit. We are living in the new covenant. And he will write his law. This is not the old law of Moses. What kind of law? My new command, love one another. He write that law into your heart by his spirit. so that you will be his people. In other words, when people in society look at you, wow, these people love one another. Christians are real. Jesus is real. People will say, wow, this is God's people. People outside the church will not say that you're God's people because you just carry the cross on your neck. They will know that you are God's people because you love one another. You are his people. Let's look at another prophecy in the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 31, 33 to 34. I read all this scripture just to prep you to go into the practical point here. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. Again, new covenant with the church, say the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man his neighbor, saying, know the Lord. For they shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, say the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. In the Old Testament, Moses wrote the law on the tablet of stone. He brought the stone down and showed to people. 10 commandments, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Is that right? But today, the new covenant, God wrote the law. What is the law? Love one another. Into your heart, into your spirit. We don't need a tablet of stone anymore. Because that law, the new command of Jesus, has been written in your heart. And I'm going to show you the practical point here. Who wrote that law into your heart? Not me, not Pastor Lau, not Pastor Da, not any pastor or preacher. The person that wrote that law into your heart is Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God, the Bible does not talk about the love of man, selfish love, gaining personal benefit love. This is the unconditional agape, selfless love. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Who wrote that law in your heart, in your spirit? The Holy Spirit himself. That's why John say, if you are born again, you will love your neighbor. Because you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. How can we know a person is born again? The love that shine out from his face, that shine out from his action, that he loved people or she loved people. Because the love has been already written in the heart. Amen. Let me read another scripture to show you that if you can love people, what Jesus say here, you fulfilled all the laws of the Ten Commandments. Romans chapter 13 verses 8 to 10. Romans, are you following me okay? I know I read a lot of scripture. I just want to lead you to show you that love is in you, but you need to let it come out from you. Romans chapter 13, 8 to 10. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. What is the law? The law of the Ten Commandments, the old law of Moses. If you love other people, you fulfill the Ten Commandments. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, all the commandments in the Old Testament, everything, sum up in only one sentence. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then the Bible says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. As a new covenant believer in the local church today, we are not open the book and read 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 and try to read that everywhere we go and say, okay, I'm not going to commit adultery like this. We are not depending on the written law on the book anymore. But that law has been written in our heart by the Holy Spirit. If you're truly born again, you're not going to commit adultery. You're not going to take somebody's wife to you and let that person cry for 10 years. You will do the good to people. Is that right? You will not get involved in the downfall or mistake of other people. Amen? We are living in the new covenant. And all the law of Moses were fulfilled in this new command of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, love one another. Now, let's come to the practical point on a daily basis. This is the problem. We all have three parts in our life. We have the physical body, or we call the flesh. And the flesh has the nature of Adam and Eve. The nature of Adam and Eve is still working in our flesh. Sometimes you get mad, you want to yell. Sometimes somebody says a bad thing about you, you want to revenge. The flesh still there. That is the first part. The second part is the mind, M-I-N-D, or soul, S-O-U-L. The soul is about the thought process, the memory, the emotion, the decision making. And the third part of your life is the spirit. The spirit is the real you inside. When you died, your body will be the dust. You will not take your body with you. This is just a tent that your spirit or your real person living on the inside of you. But after you die, your spirit will leave this body, and it still works with your mind because you can think in heaven. And that spirit is your heart. And the Holy Spirit has written the law, the new command of love in your spirit. And this is something that most Christians don't understand how to walk in life, to walk the right way. Because our daily life is influenced by these three parts, the body, the mind, and the spirit. Most Christians in the world, their life is dictated by their physical body. When I get hungry, I want to eat right now. I don't care what people say. I'm going to go eat right now. My body needs it now. If I see that woman, she's beautiful. I don't care whether she is a wife or somebody or a daughter or anybody. I'm going to take her and I'm going to do anything to her. I want to have fun. The physical body, the flesh. Or the mind is intellectual. I'm going to analyze everything. Is it true? By the stripe of Jesus, I'm healed. Let me analyze. But healing should be have a surgeon cut on my brain to get something out, or a surgeon cut on my back. But by the stripe of Jesus, intellectually, it's impossible for the healing to happen. So that is of the intellectual, is to use the reason, to use all the mental capacity to analyze, to think and to digest and to evaluate the situation. But the Bible does not say that we are walking by the flesh or by the carnality. The Bible does not say that we walk by the soul. We need to walk by the Spirit. In other words, whatever the Holy Spirit inside our spirit is working in here, we need to let the Spirit, our spirit that has the Holy Spirit, control our life. I'm a third degree black belt in Taekwondo. When people talk bad about me and cause me to lose reputation, I tell you, my flesh want to jump up and do the side kick and knock that person down like the movie Die Hard. Bam, bam, bam. You don't know I can front kick, side kick, jump kick. I can do anything and you can knock down in only 5 minutes. That's my flesh. But if I let my flesh run my life, I'm going to take revenge. I'm going to say bad things. I'm going to have to do something to get back on that person. Is that right? My flesh, if I let my flesh to control me. But I cannot do that. Because I want to walk by the Spirit. In other words, if you want to walk in love, you cannot walk in the flesh. You need to walk by the Spirit. You need to let the Holy Spirit on the inside of your spirit dictate what you say, what you do, And sometimes it's painful because your flesh wants to do opposite. But you say, no, the flesh, stop. Don't do it. My spirit tell me to do another things. Amen. That's why Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 27, but I keep under my body. Actually, it's kind of confusing when I read that. I keep my body under. Under what? Under the control of my spirit. Under the control of the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. My body, my flesh, go down. Mm-hmm. Don't act up. Go down. My spirit will control me so that I will walk in love. And bring it into subjection, subjecting to Christ. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a cast away. In other words, some people may be so anointed, so do so good, but they walk in hatred. And eventually their life is a mess because they don't walk by the Spirit. They just depend on the power only, but they don't walk in love. Amen? I know that this is a difficult thing to do, to walk by the Spirit. Now let me share with you from my heart a little bit here. I know that some of you may think that this is a weird church, that we have the Holy Spirit touching people, moving, and you know, a lot of Holy Spirit thing in the church. Wow, I never seen this before. Why it looks like this? People get touched by the Spirit of God. The reason behind, deep in my heart, actually, I'm not a guy that like to do showmanship, lay hand on people and people fall down and people laugh. It's like, oh, look at me. No, it's not my desire. My desire is this. Two things when we allow the Holy Spirit to touch people. Number one, it's like a glass. You can put in more and more water to fill it up. That's why the Bible call the Holy Spirit like river and water to have a measured level, the level. We are all not perfect in love yet. Who writes down the love into our heart? The Holy Spirit. So if you want to have more love, what do you need to do? You need to let the Holy Spirit come in more and more and more and write down the love on the inside your heart. Actually, it just happened to me last night. I feel so victory. I just feel so thankful when I woke up this morning. Yesterday, when God moving in the revival service for the Chinese congregation, the Holy Spirit touched me. And I have to admit to you, in this past 1 year, I struggling forgiving a few people who hurt me so badly last year. And I really, really struggle. I try to. Until yesterday, the Holy Spirit touched me in the meeting. Last night, I had a dream. I was set free. I had a dream to bless this man and talk to this man nicely. I woke up. Wow. I forgive already. Now, I can love this man like nothing happened. Because the Holy Spirit came into me yesterday and write that bigger love on the inside of my heart. To be able to forgive and love those who hurt my feeling. That's number one. The reason why I want you to be touched by the Holy Spirit again and again and again. It's like taking more vitamin, more calcium, more medication compared to medical knowledge, because the more you take good things in to kill or giving vaccine, you shot the vaccine before you go to Asia so that you will not get hepatitis B or something. Holy Spirit is like a vaccine coming and kill all the germ on the inside of you, the hatred, the selfishness, and then put in and write in more and more bigger and bigger love. You see the picture now? Why the church need to welcome the Holy Spirit? Because the Bible say clearly that He writes the love into your heart. Who is He? The Holy Spirit. So if the church shut out the Holy Spirit, kick Him out of the church, the member gonna be very carnal, hate each other, gossiping one another, and it's a mess in the church. As there's no love, the church is just like a football stadium. People come and look at the nice program on the pulpit and then on the stage, and then everyone go home and no love in the church. We need the Holy Spirit to bring love to the church. Second reason why I allow the Holy Spirit to touch you. And every time I lay hand, I say, yield, yield. You have to yield. Yield to the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because if you learn how to yield to the Holy Spirit in the meeting, you will be able to yield to the Holy Spirit when your wife starts to give you a hard time at home. For example, you come home and your wife starts to, why you come home late? La, 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 la. Oh, no, no, no. Turn around. You can handle your husband, your wife. No, no, your husband. Let me see. Which way is the direct way to say? Good way. Diplomatically. You can control your body when your husband starts to yell at you at home. Honey, your food is so bad, too spicy. And if you are not learning how to yield to the Holy Spirit in the meeting, when you get home, your flesh gonna rise up and say, oh, okay, tonight you sleep outside the room. You cannot come into the bedroom tonight, you say like that to me, your flesh gonna revenge. But if you learn how to yield, learn how to walk in the Spirit, when your husband yell at you, I need to say your husband yell at you, because wife never make mistake. When your husband yell at you, I don't want to get into trouble at home. I need to do politically correct on this part. Okay. When your husband yell at you at home, you can smile and still love him and forgive him. Your spirit say, flesh, go down. Don't react. Don't fight. Is it true? That's why we need to train members in the church to be spiritual people. To be people who are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And people who let the Holy Spirit work inside the spirit. And the spirit control their mind and their flesh. Nothing wrong to be intellectual. Nothing wrong to be smart people and use reasoning and thinking. Because we need that before you walk across the street, you have to use your mind to look first. Okay, no car. You don't walk by the Spirit. Close your eyes and walk across the street. No, you cannot do that. You're gonna get hit by a car. You need to use your mind. Is it safe to walk? Is it good to? But at the same time, you need to listen to the Holy Spirit as well. Example, even though it looked clean on the road, but maybe the bomb will drop into that if you walk across. If the Holy Spirit tell you don't walk across, even though the car doesn't come, you need to just step back and say, the Holy Spirit tell me not to walk. I'm not going to walk. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit because He knows better. Amen? Let me read one more scripture and then I will quit and ask Pastor Da to give word of encouragement. In Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll continue next time about love. Ephesians 4, please come back to listen to the second part. Ephesians 4, 25 to 32. Therefore, listen carefully, okay, I'm going to show you the flesh and the spirit. Therefore, putting away lying. Is that the flesh? The flesh. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. Is it the spirit? The spirit. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Is that the spirit? Yes. The spirit say, if you're angry, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Your wrath is the flesh. I get mad. I need to throw things. I need to kick. I need to punch. Nor give place to the devil. The devil work with your flesh. Let him who stole. Is that the flesh? Yes, the flesh. Steal no longer the spirit. But rather let him labor, that is the spirit, make you work hard, working with his hand what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. In other words, the spirit will not make you lazy. He will make you work hard. Let no corrupt word is the flesh. The mouth say bad words. Proceed out of your mouth. But what is good for necessary edification? Is that the spirit? Yes. The spirit will make you talk edification. That may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Paul was talking about two behavior here. The behavior of the flesh and the behavior of the spirit, which means love, kind, talk good to people. And he said the reason that people cannot walk in love because they grieve the Holy Spirit. They quench the Holy Spirit in their life. So don't grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, the flesh, wrath, the flesh, anger, the flesh, clamor, the flesh, and evil speaking, the flesh, be put away from you with all malice, the flesh. And now the Spirit, be kind to one another. The new heart, the heart of flesh, not the heart of stone. Tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Wow, clear. Opposite in this scripture. The flesh, the Spirit. The flesh and the Spirit. I pray that you all will be spiritual people. Walk in the Spirit. Learn to know the Holy Spirit. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Next time I will show you in the scripture that if you can do this way, you can claim the promise of God. And you will see a lot of miracles in your life. Let me repeat one more time. Next time I'm going to show you the scripture. If you walk in love, what I say today, by the Spirit, you can claim the promise of God and it pop, happen. And you can pray with a powerful prayer. A lot of time, our prayer never get answered because we walk in the flesh. I will show you next time. Please come back to listen to the second part. Before we close in prayer, I'd like to ask Pastor Da to give some practical point how we show love to one another in the church.
Good morning, everyone. I thank you so much for allowing me to have an opportunity to say encouraging word to all of us. Pastor Lau and I would like to let all of you know that it is such an honor and privilege to have all of you in our congregation. You do not know how much we appreciate you and that you come and support the church, support the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and encourage one another here in this church. And first of all, I would like to tell all of you that we really, really love and appreciate you for just you being here. I'm so encouraged already. I just want to share just a practical point, you know, practical thinking that I have. And I am very simple people, and I love God the simple way, and I love people just the simple way. I believe in the Word of God, that the Word of God say that, take care of this flock that the Lord has given to you, because He has purchased all these people with His precious blood. The Lord Jesus Christ loved the people so much that He was willing to die to purchase us from the kingdom of darkness. If the Lord Jesus Christ loved you that much, who am I that I am not going to love you? God loves you so much, and that is our conviction, because God loves you and God has purchased you by His precious blood. That's why we don't want to take it for granted with the people of God. Each one of you are so precious. It doesn't matter who say anything to you in the past, but you are precious in God's sight and in our sight. And it doesn't matter to us. It doesn't matter how old are you. You can be adult. You can be children. You can be handicapped. You can be not handicapped. You can be rich or you can be poor. You can be anything. Really, it doesn't matter to us in our heart. Basically, I love you just the same. I love you just the same. One of the reasons I always stand in the back there, you know, at least I feel that I would like to be able to greet you, to shake hands, and to tell you, you know, with my hand shaking and my eye that you matter to me. You are precious to me. You may not know, but I'm going to tell you now. That each time I shake hands, you know what? I said, God, I am laying a hand on them. I'm laying hand on them right now, oh God, that may the Holy Spirit touch them, that you will please show miracle thing to them today. You heal them. You please take care of their problem or whatever that you may not know, but I tell you today that that is what I'm doing, you know. So when Jackie's son come in, you know, I went in and I check hand with him, and I want to tell him that the Lord bless you and God touch you. In a practical point in this church, I would like to ask all of us to love one another. don't care where do you come from, what is your background, who are you? You small little one or you are elderly? You are so precious. So all of us show love to one another. Tell all the people in the church, do not just walk by and look serious. Do not just walk by and you are not in my group. I do not click with you, or you're not in my care group. But be friendly, show other people love with your action, your eye contact, your handshake, or with touch on the shoulder or something. Please do not love only the newcomers. We love the newcomers. We also love the people who are here 20 years ago. In fact, we have to love them so much in our heart because they have been faithful. Things go up and down in the church. They never leave. They're always there. They stand. They still, please show love to them. Not only show love to one another, just in the church. Like, okay, I'll see you once a week and that's it. I'll be nice to you on Sunday. But you will never see me again the rest of the year. Don't do that. I know that some of us may not have been practiced that or understand that. But I want to encourage that even during the year, please start writing down some names that the Holy Spirit lead you to, and maybe invite that person. If you feel that you may not be good at cooking or something, it never mind. You can take them to Starbucks. Right? And have a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, and get to talk to one another. It's fun. It build up relationship and build up the love of God in the local church. And God is pleased when we love one another because the Spirit of the Lord, God is love. God is love. God does not have love. He himself is love. The whole commandment, the whole Bible sum up into one word, that is love. God said that, this is what I require of you in Micah 6:7. This is what I require of you, to love, to show mercy, and to deal with people with justice. That's why I have difficult time if I see anything that you don't deal with people with mercy, with love, or with justice. If you can think of these few things, your action, is it love? Is your action show mercy? If your action show justice, then pretty much you will walk on the road that is right before the Lord. Because that is what God requires of you. Yeah. Thank you so much, brother and sister. Thank you for being here with us.
Church need to be full of love. Amen. Praise God. How many people say, I will start to love people more and more? Amen. Don't walk into the church with the attitude, who gonna greet me? Who gonna do good to me? Walk into the church, who I can greet, who I can show love, who I can smile at. Hi, how are you? I want to encourage you. You come in with that attitude that you want to bless other people and love other people. When people come close to you, they can feel the love of God through your face, through your action. Be a vessel of love. That is the vessel of God, because God is love. Do the same thing to your spouse. Amen. Last night, I was tired. Pastor Da was lying on the couch watching movie together. So I want to show love. So I just come and lie close to her. It's this very small couch. So I lied the next door. She said, no, you can lie the other way. I just want to let her know that I want to be close to her. Show love. Whatever you can. You know, the couch is small and we are small. So she lie and lie on the same couch just to show that I want to be close to you. But she said, oh, don't worry. Just lie over there. And amen. Do everything to show love. Your eyes, contact, your mouth, your email, everything filled with the love of God. Amen. Hallelujah.
We trust that this message is ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching CDs, please contact us at 206-275-1042. You may also visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.com.
To them all gathered in your name, I lift to you. this new praise song. All the wrongs I have ever done have been washed away by your only Son. Bring me your diet, you said. We seek your glory. Lord, I sing to you a new song, a new song. Lord, I give to you a new song, a new song.
Hear the words, hear the words, new believer, new believer.
Holy Spirit, please descend on me. I long for your touch, your energy. I want to be